your glory.
As we stand in awe. One more time.
We worship you with lips of adoration.
We worship you.
We worship you as a company of praise.
Let this temple be a place where your glory. As we stand in awe
and worship.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And welcome to church this evening. Please help me celebrate our parents in the Lord, Daddy and Mommy, for this great privilege, and my pastor. Let's celebrate our pastor. Thank you, sir. Thank you for this privilege. And I celebrate every pastor in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll be blessed today. Hallelujah. You'll be blessed. Your word will come. You'll be edified. You'll be lifted. You will be transformed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We've been talking about ingathering, right? This is our month of ingathering, and I'll be dwelling on that ingathering. Let's see Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. Acts chapter 2. We learned last week about when the word was declared, about the feast, the various feasts that was celebrated in the Old Testament, many of them, but not all of them is applicable to us, of course, because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We now have just three of the feasts: Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Ingathering. That's the one; those are the ones that apply to us. Acts chapter 2, I said, 1 to 5. Act 2. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I'll read. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Okay, verse 4 is where I was going to stop, sorry. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We learned that the Feast of Ingathering, one of the things that characterize the Feast of the Ingathering is outpouring of the Spirit, right? It means in these times, these are times of spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Spending time praying in tongues. We cannot do without it. This is the dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in this month, God has given us our word that this is the time where we need to double up in spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Give me Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. We learned that the Feast of Ingathering is characterized by much harvest and joy and rejoicing. You know, in the natural, when they tell you it's time for harvest, everybody's rejoicing. Because we know that harvest time is abundance. It's time for celebration. It's time for rejoicing. If you have planted seeds, every farmer look forward to harvest time. Because that's the time of money. You sow plenty. You know that you are going, as you reap, you are selling plenty. You are going to make money. So harvest time is time of rejoicing. And one of the characteristics of ingathering, the feast of ingathering, is great joy. Isaiah 12 and verse 2 to 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise God. With joy you withdraw water out of the wells of salvation. So joy is your fetcher. Joy is your booger. Joy is what you use to draw harvest. In this time of the outpouring, in this time of ingathering, you must stay joyful. Challenges will come. That's the truth. Challenges of life must come. But it is your responsibility to keep your joy full. Satan will always try to steal your joy, especially in this time of harvest. Distractions will come, but you will stay joyful. Why? Because harvest time has come. Praise God. Harvest time has come. Laborers don't go into the harvest fighting. You fight, you are not going to harvest anything. That you have gone out, you people have gone out to the field and you want to harvest, then everybody start fighting. Will you make progress? You're not going to make progress. The time for harvest is time for joy, great joy. With joy, you will fetch. With joy, you will harvest. With joy, you will bring in the sheaves. With joy, you will bring in your bountiful harvest. In this season, you must stay joyful. Praise God. No matter the temptation, no matter whatever the situations that come. And life happens. Life happens to everybody. Life happens to everybody. But when you choose to stay joyful, you will see and enter your harvest. Praise God. We said the ingathering, the feast of the ingathering, is preceded by the feast of Passover. Passover, the death of Jesus, and Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit, right? Passover, the death of Jesus, meaning you must stay conscious of the finished works. Jesus has done it. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we have access to this ingathering because of what Jesus has done. That is the feast of Passover, the death of Jesus. And the outpouring of the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Our confidence is not in our prayer. It's not that we can pray. That's why our confidence is in the finished works of Jesus. Because Christ has done it, we have legal right to demand harvest. Praise God. Because Christ has done it, we have legal right to demand harvest. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. Let's see what Jesus said about John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, if you are thirsty, come and drink." If you are desperate, thirst signifies desperation, right? If you are tired of life, if you are tired of your situation, if you are tired of the level where you are, come and drink of the Spirit. So this season is characterized by much drinking of the Spirit, spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. I like what my pastor said one time. He said, what prayer will not do, much prayer will do. What much prayer will not do, much more prayer will do. Praise God. So you will keep at it. You will keep drinking of the Spirit. It is a time characterized by much drinking. So you say, how much am I supposed to drink until you see your harvest? When you are satisfied with the kind of harvest that you have, you can stop drinking. So you are the one that will determine it. It's not, we are not coming to say, you are going to pray 4 hours, you'll be okay. No, there's no formula to it. It's your destiny that is the formula. It is your destiny that requires the level of time you will spend in prayer. If you have big destiny, you know that you cannot be playing around. Right? You know that it's not time for joke. It's time for serious business. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, a similar scripture to this. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no... Please give us New King James, thank you. New King James. New King James, thank you. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Praise God. Look at this scripture again. It says, sorry, verse 1. Yes, it says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that you don't have money, come and buy. With what? Yeah, because you said, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. What am I going to use to buy? Time in God's presence. When you spend time in God's presence, you are making transactions. He says, come. Do you know in this verse alone, come appears 3 times? Come, come, come. Come to his presence. You that is thirsty. You that is desperate. You that is tired. You are tired of life. Nothing seems to be working. Scripture says, come to the waters. You don't have money. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine. Wine, wine, wine. Wine symbolizes drinking of the Spirit. Milk, remember that scripture. Desire the sincere milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. So, you spend time praying, you spend time with the word of God, you are transacting. You are making spiritual transactions. He says, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It means when you spend time in God's presence, you'll be having things without paying for them. When you spend time in God's presence, you'll be having things without paying for them. Verse 2. Why do you spend money on what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. That abundance can only be found in his presence. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Praise God. He says, come to me. Come, come. You don't have money. You are desperate. You are frustrated. Life is dealing with you. What's the solution? Come to his presence. Come, spend time in his presence. As you spend time drinking of the Spirit, studying God's word, you are settling things in your destiny. You are settling your destiny. That's the truth. You spend time in God's presence. You are making spiritual transactions. You are buying. You are selling. Praise God. Hallelujah. On Sunday, our pastor taught us about taking responsibility for our lives. It means that you are the one responsible for the outcome of your life. If you don't like what you are seeing, you cannot hold anybody responsible for it. Because Jesus, we said this feast is characterized by the feast of the Passover. Jesus has died. He has done all that there is to be done. It is your own responsibility to stand up and stand on the sacrifice of Jesus and insist on your harvest. You are the one that will do it. Nobody can do it for you. If when you read scriptures and you read Epaphras, who is one of you, servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you. My all-time star question is, I don't know who you have as Epaphras that is always laboring for you in prayer. You are the Epaphras of your life. You are the one that will take your life to where it ought to be. You know why? Life will never give you what you desire. The system of life has not been designed to give you what you desire. It is you that will rise up and take what you want from life. And the day you decide to take what is yours, you will find out that heaven has been standing waiting for you. Because the sacrifice has been done. Jesus has paid the price. You are the one that will now stand on the sacrifice and take what is yours. You will stand and keep at it until you see your answer. And you know the thing with life is that when you finish one challenge, you enter another one. Praise God. So our pastor used to say, you are either coming from one challenge, or you are inside one, or you are going into another one. That's how life has been designed. Why? You must always have testimonies. You must always have testimonies. And there's no testimonies without tests. There are no testimonies without trials. So life, God has designed it. Or Satan, you know, Satan is the god of this world. So he has planned that he must be bringing frustration. And God has designed that, okay, I will be giving my children testimonies. As you bring frustrations, we'll summer them with testimonies. Praise God. And so you will keep at it. You cannot be tired. You can't. Sometimes it will look like nothing is happening. But you will stay on God's word. You will stay on God's word and insist that your harvest must drop. And you know, sometimes your harvest may be desires in your heart. Sometimes your harvest is the prophetic word that has been hanging over your head. If you don't pray them out, they will become your frustrations. Desires must be prayed out. Let's see Mark 11:23-24. Mark 11:23-24. Mark 11, yeah. For shortly I said to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you... Sorry, my King James. Let's go back. Let's go back to the original King James. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It's not when you wish. When you pray, it's not if you pray, it is when you pray. If you find desire in your heart, it is time to pray. Praise God. You must take your desires to prayer, or else they will frustrate you and you begin to compromise. When you don't pray your desires, you compromise. You compromise your values as a child of God. That's when you begin to do things you're not supposed to do. That's the only time that bribery can look like, it's not too bad after all. It's bad. It's because you did not pray. That's why your values are now dropping. When you pray, you have spiritual energy. Praise God. Let's see Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs, hope deferred make the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Praise God. When your hopes, when you are not seeing the things you want, you are frustrated. You are not going to be satisfied. But when desires come, it is a tree of life. It is answers. It brings solutions. People participate. People enjoy from the blessing and harvest that you get. Praise God. And so desires are not to be written in wish list. My wish list for my birthday is this. It's not like a shopping cart where you just pick. Then you'll be looking at it till. No, desires are to be birthed in prayers. You must birth your desires in prayers. Praise God. And we've heard several here that prayers is the energy or fuel for life. What you use to run life is prayer. You pray, you can store up prayer. And when you enter your future, everything will be going on autopilot. Praise God. If you have flown, you know, after a while, just autopilot. The pilot is not really doing anything. The plane is cruising for itself. That's how it is spiritually. When you take your life and you pray out your destiny, you will walk into that destiny. Some people will now say, suddenly things happen. It's not suddenly. You prepared for it. Nothing happens suddenly in this life. Nothing happens suddenly. Even if the person tells you, they don't really know what they did. Somebody prayed out that destiny for that person. Sometimes the parents, mothers, fathers, pray out the destinies of their children. They will just enter into a future that is already prepared. But if you know that you are coming from a lineage of babalawos, that you are not... You are not sure anybody is praying for you anywhere. How you pray out your future? You will pray it out by yourself. You will pray it out. You will pray it out. You will arrange the head of your children even before they come. Praise God. One time, General told us a story of a lady that in her single days, university, her church was organizing a lot of prayer conference, and she was giving to prayer. They pray out their future, pray your destiny, pray, you know. So she graduated, she got job, she married, she gave birth. Everything was just ascending. She was just enjoying. She was just going. Everything was just going. One time, thunder now started striking. She now said, I went to meet pastor. Pastor said, have you been praying? Have you been spending time praying? She now said, sir, I've been very busy. You know, my job is very demanding. I really don't have time for prayers like I used to when I was single. And I told her, sorry, this is your destiny that you entered swiftly. Is the prayers you were praying those years, it was stored up for you. But now, the energy has finished. You have used the battery. It has finished. The power bank has finished. It has died. You have to charge it again. You have to make progress again. You have to. It's like when you have inverter and there's no light. You are just chilling. Everybody's in darkness. You are just chilling. You are just happy. You are just going. After a while, no sunlight, no charging. Your battery will run down. So we have to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. You will continue to top up. There is no stopping. There's no stopping. So even if you prayed out, you say, I've been praying. You will continue. As far as you're on earth, challenges will come. So you will continue to pray. You must pray. This season of ingathering that we are in is a season characterized by much praying in the Holy Ghost. Much praying in the Holy Ghost. And you will choose not to settle for life. Oh. No, you will refuse. You must refuse the ordinary life. You must refuse small life. No, your destiny is too great. You cannot choose to settle. No. And nobody is going to pray out your destiny for you like you will for yourself. So it's you. It's on you. You are the one to pray out your destiny. You are the one to take responsibility for your life. It has to be you. If you are not satisfied, if there's a dissatisfaction in your life, in your heart, stand up and pray it out. Spend much time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend time in God's presence. We saw it in Isaiah 55. Transact, make spiritual transactions. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time with the Word of God. Spend time. Build yourself. Build capacity for the destiny that you are entering. Build capacity. Because like we heard this on Sunday, if you enter a destiny that you are not prepared for, they will take you out. And it depends on the organization you find yourself. It's military that they told us one time, one guy just assumed position somewhere here, commandant. And as he sat down, you know, I didn't sit down. I think he didn't stay up to 3 months. He didn't stay up to 3 months. From one hospital to another, to another, to another. Until he just entered eternity. They took him out. It's you that think that life is ordinary. Hey, Jesus. Life is not ordinary. I was in a meeting one time and they invited somebody to come and teach on leadership that morning. He's a believer, but he's in the corporate world. He's doing business in serious money. And so he said, his company, the company he has, give out loans to people. So he said that one day he went to the office and sat down. And there was odor, terrible odor, bad odor in his office. He stood up, went to the next office. It was okay. Came back to his own office. There was odor. So the plan was that he was not going to sit down in that office that day. They didn't want him to sit in the office. Another time, he was giving us gist of the various trials that he has faced. Another time, he said he was having a board meeting. And one of his friends called him, he was a prayer partner with him, called him and said, is it Femi or what's his name? He just called his name and said, where are you? He said, I'm in the office. I'm in a meeting. And I said, leave that place now. He said, why? He said, I say, leave there now. Go to the next room and start praying. He said, but I'm in a meeting. How can I just leave them and go? He said, stand up and leave there now. He said, this is how he left the office that day. Like this, like somebody that was going to die. He said, another day, he was sleeping. His name is Remy. He was sleeping. He just started hearing, Remy, oh! Remy, oh! Then he woke up. They called his name 3 times. Of course, he did not answer because if he had answered, he is going. So he now made a statement. He said, how can you be a captain of an industry and you don't fast at least once a week? He now said, in the corporate world, there, they will take you out. He said, that's his company, gives out loans to people. Of course, they will, when they are returning the money, a certain percentage of interest and all that. So these particular guys wanted to kill him so that they will not pay the debt. They came and borrowed money. He gave them money. They now want to kill him so that they will not pay the debt. The world is wicked. Very wicked. So we can't be doing life ordinarily. We cannot. And our weapons are better, let's say more sophisticated than theirs. But if you don't take advantage of the weapons that you have, you will fail at life. And like we've heard, every failure is a prayer failure. Every failure is a prayer failure. You must pray. You must. It's not an option. It's not like courses that we take in the university that they will say there's elective and there are core. This one is core. It's core. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see Revelation 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And whosoever will. No. New King James. Sorry. Is it New King James now or Amplified now? Sorry. Let me see the New King James. Yes. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Whoever desires. Who is thirsty is him that will do the work. Praise God. He is the one that will take the water. He is the one that will be responsible for himself. Whoever has desires, whoever is thirsty, whoever is desperate. You know, we've heard that you can do without food for many days, but you cannot do without water for many days. And so thirst is like desperation. Whoever is desperate, let him take the water. He is the one that will sit down and drink of the Spirit. Him by himself. Praise God. And one of the characteristics of this season is to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. One of the characteristics of ingathering is to be led by the Spirit. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, especially when it comes to taking responsibility for your life, is Esther. And we're reading the book of Esther in our Bible group. I love that story so much because it just showed how that you can be living your life for somebody will be planning evil for you. The Jews, nothing. Even the ones that were afar off, they wrote letter to kill them. Ha. Because it's not everybody that is happy with you. It's not everybody. But Esther decided to do something. And if Esther did not do anything, they will wipe out the Jews. Even though they were God's favorite, God's choice, God's... But if you don't take responsibility for your life, you'll be gone. Now, Esther chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's see that. Esther 2, 15. 15 to 17. Give me in the Good News translation. Esther 2, 15. We're going to spend time to pray. Maybe like 10 minutes. I pray I have that time.
Esther 2. The time came for Esther to go to the king. Esther, the daughter of Abihail and the cousin of Mordecai. So they were cousins. Who had adopted her as his daughter. Esther, admired by everyone who saw her, when her turn came, she wore just what Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem, advised her to wear. See this scripture. She wore just what they advised her to wear. Now, the leading of the Spirit may come to you via God's word, may come to you by the inward witness or by your spiritual leaders. And this is a season where you should be sensitive to take and obey instructions. This is not one season where you want to be disobedient. Oh, you don't have time for that. Let's not use your life as an example of disobedience. No. This is a time where you should be sensitive. They say what she requested was exactly what they said she should wear. That's what she wore. 16 to 17. So in Xerxes' 7th year as king, in the 10th month, the month of Tebet, Esther was brought to King Xerxes in the royal palace. The king liked her more than any of the other women, and more than any of the others. She won his favor and affection. He placed the royal crown on her head and made her queen in place of Vashti. When I was thinking about the scripture, I said, what if she disobeyed that guy? What if they had said, wear purple robe? And she said, no, orange is my favorite color. I like it shiny and sparkly. She would not have been made queen. That emphasis that scripture placed, that for scripture to record that one, it means it was relevant. It was relevant to the choice, to her being chosen, that she only wore what was advised. In this season, you will take instructions as your life. You will obey the leading of the Spirit. You will be sensitive enough to follow instructions. You should trust that your spiritual leaders have your best interest at heart and follow them. Sometimes the instruction may not even make sense to you. You have calculated how your life will go, how everything will go. Somebody will now call you and say, no, this is what you must do. Just do it. Do it. Let nothing hinder your harvest. Let it not be said that you disobeyed that instruction. That is why the door of that harvest closed. Because some people have come to the harvest. Just one thing. They will miss it. And so this is a season where you must obey God's instructions. You must be led by the Spirit. You must follow instructions. Whatever instructions have come to you, whether by God's word, by the inward witness, by your spiritual leaders, obey. See Esther chapter 2 and verse 10. Give us 10, then give us 20. Verse 10 and verse 20. Now, on the advice of Mordecai, Esther had kept it secret that she was Jewish. He told her not to tell anybody. She obeyed. Verse 20. As for Esther, she had still not let it be known that she was Jewish. Mordecai had told her not to tell anyone, and she obeyed him in this, just as she had obeyed him when she was a little girl under his care. So even after she became queen, she was still obedient. You know, some people, maybe you have touched small money, pastor cannot instruct you again. You have seen 1, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. Then suddenly, I cannot I cannot obey pastor again. But even after, because here she was already made queen, but she obeyed him just as when she was a little girl under his care. That obedience, I'm too sure, was part of the reason why she was able to be used by God to save the Jews. If not, if she had let it out that she was a Jew from the beginning, she would have poured, she would have muddled the waters. Before what God is planning, she would just go and scatter it. So you must obey the leading of the Spirit in this season. And we know the story, how the story ended. Mordecai called her one time when, what's his name now? The wicked guy, her guy, Haman, said, wrote letters and all that, and said the Jews should be killed all around all the provinces. And Mordecai told her that, hey, maybe this is why God, why you were brought up in this place. So you were brought up for such a time as this. If you don't stand up, help and deliverance is going to come from somewhere, and you and your father's house will be destroyed. And Esther said, okay, gather the people. Give us 3 days and three nights. Let us pray. And like our pastor have been saying, say some of you, maybe it's also only 3 days and three nights you need, though. Maybe all that is needed. You remember the story of Oga Muneni? God told him he had in his heart to pray 9 hours. 9 hours stretch. He will come. He will do 1 hour. He will go. He will come again. He will do 2 hours. He will go. He will come again. He will do 3 hours. He will go. And that's okay. 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 5, 6. Go come. We don't have one. No. They say 9 hours stretch. So one Saturday, he decided to just, let's just put this 9 hours. And he gave 9 hours to prayer. And after that 9 hours, that's when that scripture broke out for him. Blessed be the Lord God, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness. He said he could not even say strong city, because the city was no longer strong again. After 9 hours, he got his desires. And so maybe it's just 3 days that you need to. Maybe it's just 3 days, three nights to change that long-standing negative cycle of defeat. May just be 3 days. Take it. Pray it. Fast it. Do it. And your testimony will abound. Praise God. Now let's see some hindrance of our harvest. Some of the things that hinders our harvest. Some of the things that can hinder your harvest. Number one, lack of joy. Lack of joy. Lack of joy. Lack of joy. Murmuring, complaining. It will hinder your harvest. Please give me Habakkuk chapter 3:17-18. Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruits be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Praise God. Even if it looks like things are not working, it looks like I'm not seeing this harvest, it looks like my life is the exact definition of unanswered prayer, what am I going to do? I will rejoice. I will rehearse the joy, rewind the joy, and keep rejoicing until I see my harvest. Whether it looks like things are not working or not, I will rejoice. He says there may be no herd in the stall. There may be no food. No, nothing. Things may not be working. Things may be going from bad to worse to worst to anything worse than worse. I will rejoice. Hallelujah. There was one time in my life that life was hitting us left, right, center, up, down, everything. To crown it all, one day my husband called me that his car just caught fire at work. I said, ah, hey, what's happening here? Then the Holy Ghost say, just told me to rejoice. I say, well, like, this rejoice now is the hardest thing to do in this season. How can I just sit down now and start singing and be dancing? When I'm seeing all this problem like this, I should be dancing, I should be rejoicing. It's so hard. But I will never forget that night. I was just scrolling on my phone, I think, on somebody's WhatsApp status. I saw Hallelujah Challenge was that night. So I said, let me just follow this Hallelujah Challenge and see what is to do there. So I said, I want this to sing, just worship God. And all. I said, let me just worship God. Since me myself, to even sing songs, all the songs finished from my head that time. So I joined. And I just started worshiping God. I just started dancing. I was rolling on the floor. I was thanking God. That night, God said, I have rolled this season away, like I'm rolling a carpet. So I said, amen, amen. I gave thanks. In the morning, as I was carrying Jessie to school, there was a truck in front of me. The truck had carpets that were rolled. They rolled the carpets, rolled them, and it was moving. And the Holy Ghost said, you see the way this truck is going? That's how this season, this hard season has gone. Like, because he told me, I'm rolling it away. I've rolled it away, like you roll a carpet. So I kept looking at it. As I was looking at the truck going, I said, I'm not going to overtake this truck. As I was looking at it going, I said, this how this season has gone. This season has gone. This season has gone. And it's not like the next day, everything just changed, like, you know. But I realized that heaviness just left. That heavy, you know, hardness, just tightness, it just left me. I didn't see reason to be bothered again. I didn't see reason to worry. I didn't see any reason to nothing. I just kept rejoicing. And true to it, things just started falling in place much later. And that season passed. Hallelujah. So if I say rejoice, I have a test as in I know that rejoicing can change seasons. Rejoicing can bring in your harvest fast. Choosing to rejoice can hasten up that harvest. Choosing to joy, to just keep rewinding your joy. Stay joyful. Joy is a force. Joy is a spiritual force. Choosing to rejoice can change that season like night and day. Just keep at it. Keep praying. You add it with joy. Add it with rejoicing. Dance. Celebrate God's faithfulness. And your season of harvest will flow in. Praise God. Another hindrance of harvest is bitterness, strife, and unforgiveness. Those three musketeers that always follow each other. Bitterness, strife, unbelief, they will cripple your harvest. They are like weeds in a farm. When you have planted seeds, you are expecting harvest. They will cripple your harvest if you indulge in bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, malice, all those things together. Refusing to walk in love. They'll cripple your harvest. You don't want to engage in that kind of thing right now. You are in for a serious business. There's no time for bitterness. No. One time, Ken Hagin told a story that he went for a meeting and God used the pastor powerfully. So he was asking God that, why did God use the pastor powerfully? Because previously, like maybe some few days before that meeting, he was driving and he saw the pastor entering into a brothel or something, hotel, one of those prostitutes' house. And he now said, God, I didn't expect you to use this man, because... So he said, there was this other woman in the congregation that she's very prayerful, very, you know, spiritual. He said, Lord, I was expecting that you will use that man in that meeting. And the Lord said to him, you don't know what he went to do in that hotel. And moreover, when you passed, after you passed, he just stopped and said, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm not supposed to be here. And he went out. Then he said, but you see that woman that you said I should have used, she has been living in bitterness for the past 20 years. Every time she stands to me to pray, I see it as a dark cloud that rises up. I cannot use her for my glory. And Brother Hagin said, oh, okay. And God said, he said, I cannot use her for my glory. She has been living in bitterness. You must do away with bitterness. So you must do away with strife. It's Kenneth Copeland that says, can forgive anything, but if you see strife among his staff, he's going to fire you immediately. Because Hebrews 12 and verse 15 tells us, Hebrews 12, 15, roots of bitterness springing up. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any roots of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So, Kenneth Copeland said, when it comes to strife, he will fire you straight if he sees anybody in his company dealing strife, offense, causing offense and all that. You must do away with it. And you know, I was talking to one of my friends recently, and I said, I don't know why mediocres love the company of mediocres. Mediocres. They love the company of mediocres so that they can become mediocrity. And in any organization, whether spiritual or secular, small people cause big problems. When I say small people, I don't mean people that don't have money. I mean small from the mind. Small people, they always cause big problems. Don't put yourself in that kind of situation. With the precious destiny that you have, you cannot be found bearing tails, joining people's head together to cause trouble. You are the one. When they say, you are the one that have the file of everybody in church. With this work that we have, you have time to sit down, to be gossiping, to be causing problem for people. Your destiny must be mushroom. Yeah? Because if your destiny is precious to you, you will do away with causing offense, causing strife. And that is why your life will not bear fruit. You will be fruitless if you spend time in bitterness, spend time in offense, spend time in unforgiveness. You find some Christians, believers, who say, that's another person did to me, I can never forgive. You use that kind of never forgive. And Jesus forgave you while you are yet a sinner. Christ forgave you. Those are the things that will cripple your harvest. You don't want to dwell in it. Stay joyful. Avoid bitterness. Avoid offense. Avoid strife, malice, unforgiveness. Continue to pray in the Holy Ghost. Continue to obey instructions. Obey instructions. Obey little instructions. Whether little or mighty, obey all instructions that comes to you from the Word of God, the inward witness, your spiritual leaders, people that have your best interests at heart. Obey instructions. and you will enjoy the blessing of this season. This is a season characterized by much harvest hanging on our heads. And we will pull down this harvest by spending protracted time praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I know we have desires in our hearts. I know we have, many of us have prophetic words that we have not seen. We have not seen it come to pass. We just have 5 minutes left. I want us to just use this time to pray. Pray out your desires and keep praying at home. Maintain your joy. Let nothing steal your joy. Nothing. Let nothing steal your joy. Maintain your joy. Be led by the Spirit. Walk in love. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And you will bring in the sheaves with joy. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Mali rabashata ligele rebu soso kupara rabashata pali gele bru soko tu loko tu prakata ligele rebu soko tu prakada. Ela rabashata pranda gele bru soso soko su prana prakata ligele rebu shata pranda klanda bru soko tu loko tu prakada. Ela rabashata pranda klanda bru tu loko tu prakata ligele rebu soso koso pranda gele bru tu loko tu prakodo. En granda rabashata pranda klanda bru tu loko tu prakata ligele rebu soko su pranda gele bru tu loko tu prakada.